Psalms chapter number 6. Thank you, choir. You did a tremendous job. I appreciate that. Psalms chapter number 6. I got a phone call from South Carolina yesterday, maybe Monday or yesterday. I can't remember. Anyhow, they've been listening to Facebook Live, and anyhow, they told me that they wanted to say thank you for my announcements. They said there's nobody else in the world that could make announcements like I do and get away with it. And so anyhow, they were talking about the kids not going to the bathroom, and it just reminded me, don't let your kids go to the bathroom, or Jake, while I'm trying to preach, all right? All right, Psalm chapter number 6. If you're there, say amen. If you ain't by now, you probably won't find it, all right? We'll start reading in verse number 1 and read the entire chapter. The Bible says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me. For my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groanings. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eyes consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Here's another passage of Scripture, another psalm, as we carry on in our study of the Psalms. And I set out to this because I thought, man, you know what we need? We need some praise. We need some excitement. We need all these things in the church. And I thought for sure, man, we go into Psalms and I could do that. I could preach rough on Sunday and I could come back on Wednesday night and it was going to be good. But apparently that ain't it. They sang these songs mad or something. I don't know. I was looking at this and I was thinking, man, this is rough. Well, this is what they call a penitent psalm. There's 7 of these that are identified in Scripture. This is the first of 7. So you have Psalms chapter number 6. Psalm chapter 32, Psalm chapter 38, Psalm chapter number 51, Psalm chapter 102, Psalm chapter 120, and Psalm chapter 143, or I'm not 120, 130, and Psalm 143. And so this is the first of a penitent psalm, which means that this psalm was written because David had sinned against God. Now, what he did, we don't know. Okay, there's some that believe all of the psalms were written, the penitent psalms, all 7 of the penitent psalms was written because of his sin with Bathsheba, but there's no proof of that, and there's no reason to say or to even think that that's the only sin that David had, because he did number Israel without the consent of God, and because of his sin in numbering Israel, God killed by plague 70,000 Israelites. All right, so David had some doozies, if you will, for sin, all right? But David, as I've already mentioned, was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart because of the way he looked at sin. when we look at this, we can't, I can't turn this around and make it better for you, all right? What I will tell you is, as it gets better towards the end, but this ain't a shouter-outer, and we're all excited about it. And this is one of those Psalms where David is literally crushed by his sin. If you read, he says, he begs God not to rebuke him in his anger. I need somebody to help me right here. I'm with David on that. He says, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. I wish my parents would have practiced that. I need somebody to help me. My mama grabbed me anything, and she was never sane about it at all. And I don't care if she's watching. She can call in to our show tomorrow, all right? That woman would, she'd hit you with a frying pan. She'd hit you with a broom. She'd draw blood. And she was crazy. I love my mama, but she was crazy. I would love to go back and read her this psalm. Don't chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Lord help. Now, my daddy was different. My daddy would sit there and he'd talk to you for 45 minutes. And that was the most excruciating thing I ever went through in my entire life. But I guess it was for him to calm down before he beat me. Mama, no, she just beat you and cussed you out while she was doing it, all right? Anyhow, David pleads for mercy. He says, I am weak. Now, what is he weak from? The sin. The burden of this sin. He says, for my bones are vexed. The word bones there means his body, not just his bones on the inside that we, you and I would think. He's literally saying this, my entire body aches from the burden of sin. There ain't really nothing you can say. I mean, do we look at it like that way? I mean, we sin and it ain't no big deal. David sinned, and though he had some big ones, David's sins just crushed him. That word that Jesus or that God would draws near to a contrite spirit, that word contrite literally means a soul, a spirit crushed by sin. And David had this. David said, my soul, he said, my bones are vexed. But then he said, my soul is also sore vexed. And then listen to this. He said, I am weary with my groaning. And he says, all the night make I my bed to swim. Now, obviously, he ain't crying enough that his bed's floating, but we get what he's saying here, right? Then this is all because of sin, y'all. Then he says, I water my couch with my tears. His bed, his couch. He says, mine eye is consumed because of grief. Is that not, y'all help me, y'all. Does that not seem like a lot different attitude towards sin than what the average, what any Christian has today? Well, not average, what any Christian, myself included, any Christian. We don't see sin like that. I want you to look at a couple of things with me here tonight. I really only want to preach one of them. I'm going to give you four. But I really just want to preach the first one. I'll probably just give you the other ones and we'll go home. But I want to look at this just for a few moments and pray and hope that you and I could get somewhere even remotely halfway close to viewing sin and seeing sin as David did. David writes a song about his sin. Most of us won't even confess it. David wrote 7 psalms about his sin. Most of us won't even confess it. It's a sad state, but most people and the struggles that they're going through, difficulties that they're going through, can be traced back to unconfessed sin. Now, there's instances in the Bible where Jesus, you remember as he walked in, there was a man that was blind, and his disciples asked him, they said, who did sin, his father or his mother? And he said, neither. But this was done so that the works of God, the glory of that God may get the glory out of this. And so there are ailments that are not a result of sin. But David is very clear right here that his ailments are a result of sin. Y'all say amen. Because I know you don't want to hear that and you don't want to agree with it, but that's how David viewed it. David said, I'm sore, vexed within my soul. He says, my bones are vexed. He said, I'm weak. Okay, is everybody with me right now? All these things, his illness, this is basically David is describing an illness, and nobody would disagree with that. Most scholars believe that he's describing, he is going through a physical ailment right here, an illness right here, but he attributed it to sin in his life. Now, we don't want to do that, because then we would have to acknowledge that we have sinned, but most of us won't confess it, so we won't acknowledge it, so I just got sick, or I'm just not, come on, y'all help me now. How many of you know this? Sin will cause, I'm just going to go ahead, and y'all can get mad at me, and some of you probably leave the church over it, but anyhow, sin causes physical ailments.
Yes, it does.
Okay? The stress of living in a sinful state causes illnesses in you. If you don't believe that, then I'll testify that it has happened in my life. The burden of sin being upon you and you living in a certain sin, unrepentant, brings about such enormous stress in your life that it causes you to be sick. David recognized this, and instead of explaining away, he acknowledged it, took ownership of it, and said, I'm going to get right with God in it. And that's where I think David is so much different than you and I, is first off, number one, if you're taking notes, his awareness of sin. David had a great awareness of sin. Now, not in all cases. We know that God had to send Nathan to David. And Nathan had to give him a little parable. And Nathan gave that little parable. And David cast judgment on that stranger. And Nathan identified that stranger as being David and said, thou art the man. So, in not every case, but David was very aware of sin. When he failed God, he reacted miserably. When you and I, come on, y'all help me, y'all. When the average Christian fails God, we handle it as just another mistake. I'm human. I'm human. Now, I'm not, before y'all go running off saying I'm preaching on perfection and that you have to be perfect, I'm not. I'm literally telling you that David was not perfect, but David realized he had an awareness of his imperfections and he would not live in that state. So don't think that I'm trying to say that you're going to go out and live perfect. I'm just saying that if you and I viewed sin the way that David viewed sin, the way that God views sin, then you and I would not struggle with some of the sins that we do. Because true repentance is turning away from our sin. I notice his awareness of sin, David shows us how sin affects us physically. It affects us physically. He said, put them verses back up there if you will, Miss Carrie, verse number 1 and verse number 2 as we go through. But he says, rebuke me not in anger. Go to verse number 2, I think is where he starts with his, talking about his ailments. He says, for I am weak. It affects us physically. Somebody that's living in sin, and some of y'all have dealt with this, and some of y'all have seen this in your marriages, some of y'all have seen this in your own life. When somebody in that party is sinning, or you are, it actually causes physical sickness. I have seen it more than one time. A couple going through a divorce, and the stress and the agony of all of that, that building, all that stuff, hatred gets involved in that, bitterness gets involved in that, and you watch them lose 20 to 30 pounds. Why? Because sin affects us physically. And if you and I would recognize that and stop saying every time that something's going on with us, well, let's just say, you know, I'm not saying every time you get sick it's because you're in sin. I'm just saying David had an awareness of sin and he had an awareness of the effects of sin. Now, for you to say, now that ain't how God judges us, you don't know your Bible. Because God is very specific in letting us know that everything is without the body except for the sin of fornication. And God says he will judge the body in fornication. That's what it says. In the New Testament. Not the Old Testament. In the New Testament to the churches. Not the Gospels. God says that every sin is without the body except for the sin of fornication or sexual impurity. That is a sin against the body. And God will judge the body concerning that. David had an awareness of sin and he says it affects me physically. David had an awareness of sin and he says it affects me emotionally. Go to the ones with tears in them, if you will, Miss Carrie. I think it's verse, I was going to say 7, 6. Good start. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. It affects us emotionally. Sin, come on y'all, help me now. Bitterness affects us emotionally. Anger, emotional sins. It affects us emotionally. This is something that I battle every single day. I just be honest with you. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be calling out my sin. Maybe I should just call out all the easy sins that I don't have to worry about, like drunkenness, addiction, and all those things that I don't have to, adultery, I don't have to worry about. Which, I mean, you have to worry about all of them. Let me make sure you understand that. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. All right? But it's real easy to name sins that you're not partaking of. Let's just get honest about it. How many of us struggle with anger? Now, before you say you don't, how many times has somebody done something and immediately had to bite your lip, walk out, right? And you may do a good job of it, but you just experience what they call anger and rage. Okay? And so we all battle it to an extent. We battle bitterness. We battle jealousy. I promise you. I go down there to Daytona, man, and I want a 26-inch wheel on the front of my motorcycle. I want one of them things laid out. I mean, that's what I like. Now, that might not be what you like, but I'm not buying you a motorcycle. It's for me. But I like it. I like that thing laid back. I mean, a preacher likes to, I like to ride. I like that thing laid back and all that. I get up there, I start getting jealous. And boys go by like, man, I wish I had that bike. I go over there. I take pictures of other people's motorcycles. Man, and I got a wonderful motorcycle. Get jealous. I get jealous of other people too. Sit there and see the ministries that they have, and I'm wanting to be that ministry, and I'm not there yet. And is everybody all right? Before you get mad about it, you're doing the same thing. It's just maybe not a concerning ministry. Maybe yours is just a house or a vehicle or a job or something of that nature. So we all battle it, but it causes us emotionally. It affects us emotionally. It affects us physically. But it also, and I think this is a no-brainer, it affects us spiritually. David says, he said, where is that? My soul is sore vexed. My soul is sore vexed. What'd y'all say, three? He said, my soul is also sore vexed. It affected him spiritually. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter number 66 and verse number 18, I believe it is. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity, in other words, if I hold on to it, if I allow it, if I continue in it, the Lord will not hear me. I'm reading Bible, so if you get mad about it, take it up with God. But that's what the Bible says regarding sin when it comes to the soul. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. David had a great awareness of sin. And I believe that the reason most don't have an awareness of sin is because most aren't saved. Because most aren't saved, most don't have an awareness of sin. See, when you get saved, you're convicted of that sin. I cuss like a sailor, man. I'm telling you what, I could throw it out there, or I could still do it. I promise you. I did it for so long, I have it. I can do it. If y'all ever want to try me one time, I could do it. But I remember how awful my mouth was, and I remember cussing out Christians. I've told y'all this before. I didn't want to hear that junk, and I mean, I'd literally like challenge them, cuss them out, and challenge them. You know, you don't shut your mouth. That's what I'm going to do. You know, I don't bring that crap in here, and I didn't say crap. All right, so y'all understand. When I got saved, I still had the habit. But when I said it, God smote my heart. Right? I still had the habit of it. I mean, it was just second nature, and y'all understand what I'm saying. It's just second nature. I mean, sometimes, how many of you went home to mama after being away from her for a while, and you know, in the house, you never cuss in front of mama, but you got away from mama for about a year or something like that, walk back into the house, and you in the conversation, and you just tell her about what something happened, and all of a sudden, it comes out. And everybody in the it gets awkward, because mama be bust you up, right? I need somebody to help me. But it was such a habit to you that it just came out. It was something that was second nature. And what I'm getting at is that sin was second nature for me, and I got saved. And then the next day, it happens. Right. And all of a sudden, I felt something I'd never felt before.
That's right.
I was aware that what I had done was wrong. The Holy Spirit that now lived in me convicted me. You can't put God in there. We cannot put God in there and be okay with sin. Can't do it. You cannot do it. It cannot. Light and darkness cannot be in the same place. It cannot be there. Now, that don't mean you ain't going to sin. You can't live in it without deep sorrow. David was aware of his sin. Most don't even I had y'all name sins. I was going to do it, and y'all did it for me. I wanted to do that because I feel like a lot of times when I name sins, you just pick and choose. But I wanted you to recognize that they're all sin. But I want you to, for somebody that's saved, and we're fixing to be done, so don't get scared. But in Galatians chapter number 5, the Bible tells us in verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is somebody that's saved. This is somebody that's saved. This is what will be in them. Love. That's just not, I love my wife. I love my children. That's a love for everyone, mankind. Thank you. Joy. Here's the thing, Brother Scott. Maybe you help me out because you pastored for 10 years. But somebody, somebody that never has joy. How can you never have joy if that's one of the fruit of spirits that lives in a Christian? So somebody that doesn't have joy, right? They either aren't saved. They aren't saved, okay, if they don't have joy. But if they battle with having joy, they're more likely backslidden. So if they don't have it at all, they ain't saved. But if it only comes rarely, I don't even want to say that. Even rarely, we probably not even saved. But if it's a battle for joy, peace. In other words, it ain't always got to be a debate and it ain't always got to be drama. I need somebody to help me right here. Because as much as we like to amen that in church, we get on social media and these people fighting over whether Kanye West got saved. Who cares? I hope he did. They fighting over whether he really got saved. Well, Joe Osteen invited him to his church. There ain't no telling. He probably ain't saved. Why? Because somebody invited him to church? We just make a mountain out of a molehill on everything. Some of y'all, I have hid y'all. I have unfollowed y'all on Facebook because I'm sick and tired of everything being drama. I love you. I'll show up at your hospital bed. I'll do your funeral, but I'm tired of hearing death spoken into my life every day. Everything ain't a battle. Everything's not a fight. Everything's not a debate. Everything ain't, you don't have to look at the ugly side of everything. Long suffering. I will stop right here because ain't none of us got patience. Gentleness. That's just being kind to people. That's just being kind. That's walking into a restaurant and when she doesn't bring you water when you want it, that's still being nice to her. Why? Because she's an individual and she's a soul. Instead of, I ain't going to give her a tip. Better be glad you ain't being tipped for how you worship. Next time you go into a restaurant, give them people 20%. I do it every time, 20%. That's what I'm going to write on that bill. Whether they're good, whether they're bad. If they're good, hallelujah, they deserve it and I like it, I do it extra. If they're bad, I want to encourage them that I'm not the type of person that is judgmental. That's why when I walk in, I'm going to go ahead and say this. That's why when I walk into a restaurant, they fight over where I'm going to sit. And they don't care about where you sit. Goodness. Just being good to people. Faith. We talked about unbelief and faithfulness and all that in there. Faith. Meekness. That's having the power to shut somebody down but not doing so type thing, you know. Self-control, let's call it that. Temperance. Against such there is no law. That's a saved person, y'all. Now, before we get any further, I want to just ask you a question, or don't answer this out loud, but does that all exist in you? But let's talk about what is not in a saved person, or a person that's not saved, because Galatians chapter 5, it not only gives us the fruit of the Spirit of what's in somebody that's saved and tells us about what somebody does that is saved, it tells us what they don't do. It says in verse number 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Isn't that what I just said? I mean, it's worded different, but ain't that the same thing as light and darkness won't exist in the same place? The Holy Spirit living inside of us, the Spirit, the flesh, the battle, they're contrary to one another. Is everybody all right? It says that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, this is what's in people that are lost. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, sexual impurity. Yeah, is everybody all right? We take Bible words and we think, well, sexual immorality, that's fornication. Adultery, does everybody know what that is? Uncleanness, that's purity, or a lack thereof. Lasciviousness, that's lustful pleasures. Idolatry, I think we know what that is. Witchcraft, that's sorcery. You know, horoscopes, palm readers. Who? What'd you say? Essential oils. Exactly. Amen. Essential oils. Yeah. That is good, brother. Hatred. We need to know what that is. Hostility, you know. Let's see what else we have here. Variance. I think we could say that as quarreling, emulations. Let's see what we wrote down: jealousy, wrath, outbursts of anger, strife, a selfish ambition. Dissension, or in the Bible here, seditions, dissension. And I'll go ahead and do heresies too. That's division. If you're always causing division amongst others, I mean, I'll move on from it because there's some people that are guilty of it right here. Envyings, murder, envy, we know that that is. Murders, drunkenness, that's the one nobody wanted to holler out a while ago. That is so stinking obvious. If a drunk walked in the church, you would look at him as a sinner, but you didn't want to say it. Revelings. Is everybody all right? This is almost like wild parties and stuff like that. Isn't that cool? And such like. That means things like that. I'm not going to preach anymore. That's the only point y'all getting tonight, his awareness of sin. Well, I might do the second one. His awareness of sin. David recognized sin as what placed Christ on that cross. That's the only way that I could get out of it for myself. It's if I see my sin and all those things that I named, if I see those things as what placed him on the cross, then I should be crushed in my spirit at every sin that I commit. Because I dishonor his death every time I commit an act that placed him on the cross. But for those that do not have the fruit of the Spirit, and for those that are still battling the sins that I named, the sins that God named, then maybe your act tonight isn't repentance of your sin. Maybe your act tonight is you need to be saved. And I'm talking to people that's been in this church for a long time. I'm talking to people that's been in this church for a short time. You need to examine whether or not you are of the faith. Because calling yourself a Christianity, or calling yourself a Christian because of a prayer that you prayed, is not salvation. It is a repentance, a turning from sin. Nobody's perfect. I don't expect you to be, but God does. I don't expect you to be, because I recognize that I am not. That's that whole judgmental thing. But God gave His only begotten Son for the sins that you and I partake in every single day. God help us. Now, how do we go to it? David, the next point was his appeal for mercy. David couldn't come to God and say, I deserve to be forgiven. David said, by your mercies. By your mercies, God. Mercy is getting, is not getting what you deserve. And none of us can come up here and say, God, I don't deserve it. So our appeal to Christ, to God, is mercy. That's the only way we can come to God, is by mercy. David confessed. That's what that whole psalm was, him confessing. And he got his relationship right with God. I wanted to read y'all, I ain't got time for it, but I want to say this. Let's just use Bible. Maybe you're in here tonight and you're a prodigal. You can come home to the Father. Yes. David wrote this in his deep despair for his sin. But God forgave him. And at the end of this thing, David was, he had a confidence in God. God, the Lord has heard my prayers. He's heard my supplication. So tonight, won't you come home? She's coming to the piano. We'll have a short invitation, so that means you need to get up out of your seat and run down here to the altar, okay? When was the last time we saw sin as God seen it? Sees it. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for tonight. God, I want to thank you for your word. God, you know what we need. Lord, I set out to encourage through the book of Psalms. But God, you have so many lessons for us throughout your word. Lord, tonight wasn't a night of encouragement, other than to say, Lord, that you will forgive, and Lord, that we should come home. But Lord, tonight, it was a message of warning that God, if we allow sin in our lives, we come numb to it. Lord, we can get to a place, Lord, where we're no longer in fellowship. We can't. You won't even hear us. So, Lord, tonight we lay down our sin. Lord, we see our sin as you do. God, we repent of our sin. Lord, we turn from it, knowing that it was that sin that placed you on the cross. That was that sin that demanded that your blood be shed. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, as we leave out of here, God, that we will keep in our hearts and minds for the rest of this week. And Lord, the sins that we partake in, the sins that we so easily Lord, enjoy and live in are the very sins that caused Jesus to die, the very sins that caused His blood to be shed. God, may it give us an awareness of our sin, and Lord, keep us from it. But heads bowed and eyes closed, I need to give an invitation for salvation. So I want to ask you tonight, maybe there's no conviction. Maybe tonight you got honest with me. The things that I mentioned, the things that we went over, things that you battle and you fight with. And even though you may call yourself a Christian, according to that Bible, according to what we read tonight, you don't have those things, those fruit of the Spirit in you. But you do, and I can identify with most of those sins within you. If that's you tonight, I want to say that God wants you to come home. An opportunity is given right now for you to get saved, get that thing settled in your heart. You can leave out of here tonight knowing that if you were to die, you would spend eternity in heaven. So tonight, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, tonight, if you'd be honest with this preacher and say, "Preacher, if I was to die, sitting right where I'm at, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I want you to do me a favor and look right up at me so I'll know how to end the service." Is there anybody like that? Make eye contact, and I'm not going to embarrass you. Is there anybody like that? I said, "Preacher, I'm not sure." Even if you're on the altar, anybody like that? All right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you once again, Lord, for your many mercies, Lord, your grace. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, if there's one in here that's not sure about salvation, they may not have looked up, but God, right now, they know in their heart, Lord, that if they were to die, they do not know whether they would go to heaven or hell. Tonight, Lord, I pray before they leave this church, they get this thing settled. Lord, so they can lay down their head on a pillow tonight, knowing that if they were to die, they'd spend eternity with you. God, I want to thank you for saving me. God, I'm not perfect, and I'm not going to make excuses for myself. God, I want to see sin as David saw sin here in Psalm chapter number 6. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help me, Lord, to keep on the forefront of my mind that the sins that I commit, the anger, the bitterness, the issues that I have within, the issues that I have without, Lord, or what caused you the agony in the garden, the death on the cross. Lord, we love you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, your love, your sacrifice, your resurrection. Lord, I ask you to, Lord, continue to bless us and use us, even though we're undeserving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.